Yeah, I know this is a podcast, and I know you cannot see what is going on in this video. So let me set the scene for you. There's a guy and a girl arguing on a balcony. And at first glance, it looks like the guy has done something wrong. But then the camera pans to the left, and there's literally a guy in his tidy whities climbing out of a window with a sheet. And people are yelling and celebrating, and horns are honking, and police and fire trucks are showing up because this guy is literally dangling from the side of a building. This is karma. Hey, and welcome to Threadit, the podcast that explores the top threads of Reddit, the front page of the internet. And we're going to explore everything on Reddit, from the most popular AMAs to the funniest things you've ever heard, some deep, dark secrets, and a whole lot more. In this episode, we're going to talk about karma, poetic justice, and good old-fashioned petty revenge. So welcome to episode one, the subreddit, Pro Revenge. What is it about seeing someone receive karma that is so refreshing or so tasty? Something about people receiving justice makes me feel a certain way, makes me feel good. That sounds bad, but people receiving their just desserts is something I think everybody likes to see. You know, there's this conversation my wife and I have had a bunch of times. The conversation goes like this. If someone were to kill you, would it be okay with you if I avenged your death? All right, I'm sitting here with my wife in bed. And the burning question is, Kathy, if you were to die by the hands of a cold-blooded murderer, would you allow me to avenge your death?
No.
You didn't even take a second to think about that.
Nope.
So, okay, somebody kills our kids and, like, brutally murders them. You would not allow me to avenge their death?
No. I would think that you would want to pursue justice, but not your own personal justice.
Well, I'll let you know now, I will avenge. I don't really care what you say. Still love you, but I just think that that's... I don't necessarily think it means that I go murder the person that murdered you, but it definitely means I'm at least, you know, popping their tires or something.
That's what avenging...
I'm doing something. I'm doing something. But you say no, but we come to the agreement that I can.
There is no agreement here.
So what I'm hearing is that you're saying, yes, you can avenge my death. Yes?
Incorrect.
So I'm not. I'm totally reading this wrong.
Yes.
Okay.
We were changing jobs like people change underwear. I mean, you just could always get a better offer.
So this is Rocky Moose, and that's obviously not his real name. Rocky Moose is his username on Reddit, and there's this thread called Pro Revenge, and I just got wrapped up in this. I read this thing for hours one night, and I read Rocky's story, and I just laughed. So I said, I'm going to contact Rocky and see if he'll be on our show and tell us his story.
So I stumbled upon this subreddit called Pro Revenge.
So if you don't know what Reddit is, welcome to the internet. Reddit is this website where you can go and upvote topics and talk about anything you want. And all your comments get upvoted or downvoted depending on, you know, how awesome or how amazing or how much of a tool you are. And I really love Reddit because there's a lot of great things in there. And that's kind of where I found this story and this idea of revenge. Because I was on a subreddit called Pro Revenge, which is what Rocky Moose is talking about.
The whole story takes place in California. I had just been married less than a year. This is pre-dot-com crash. So computer programmers were in really high demand. We were just married and we knew that we wanted to buy a house, we wanted to start a family, but we weren't quite ready to do that yet.
So him and his wife decide they want to buy a house. His plan is really cool. They're going to live off his wife's salary for the year and take his whole entire salary and put it down on a house.
We found this condo. And so here we come in. We're this, you know, early 20s couple. We're super safe tenants. We went to sign the lease agreement. And I remember saying to him, you know, we want to rent for a year, but we're looking to buy a house. And this is me being naive. At the end of the lease period, would it be possible to extend it by a month or two just based on when our move-in date will be on our house? He indicated that would be no problem. And he took a look at my salary and remarked on it.
And so life goes on. They live there for a year. Rocky Moose is making bank like a gangster and everything's going great. And I think over the time they live there, they might have met the landlord twice. once to paint. Maybe there was a couple things that needed to be fixed, but nothing to note, and there was no major issues. And so when Rocky Moose asked for an extension on his lease, what he got back was crazy.
And so he sent it over, and my jaw dropped. He had jacked the rent for those 2 months by $500. My instant reaction was, this guy is gouging me because he knows we can afford it, and he knows we're screwed because we need the place for 2 months. So I called him, and it's hard to make that phone call without getting upset, but you gotta be diplomatic, right?
Yep.
I called him and I said, isn't there a maximum amount, you know, just by law that you can arrange it? This is like 40 or 50%. Mm-hmm. Second I said legal, he got really upset. He's like, oh, you have lawyers? I have lawyers. I'm like, no. I'm just wondering what the maximum is here. Like, doesn't this seem a little excessive?
Yeah.
You know, he was getting more upset than me. And his famous words were, you don't have to like it, Rocky. You just have to pay it.
Man, first of all, and it sounds like you're, you know, talking to you here, you sound like you got a level head. You know, for your credit, I would have freaked, I wouldn't have called nicely. I would have been like, I would have been freaking out. So good for you. But man, after he said that, did you blow up at this guy? Did you like want to punch him through the phone? How did you react?
My wife and I were absolutely livid, and we're trying to figure out how we can get all of our stuff out of the house and in storage for 2 months. Like, I'm not going to give this guy a penny, right? I don't want to do it. Like, screw him. I'd rather sleep on a friend's couch for 2 months than give this guy another cent. So we looked into what it would take to get the movers to come out, pack up everything. And like, we had started to accumulate stuff. This wasn't, you know, this was, you know, we had a piano, right?
Yeah. Okay.
And so I kind of realized the guy, for all his shenanigans, he really raised it almost perfectly.
And so he was right. The landlord had them over a barrel. Nothing they could do about it. To move your stuff out into storage and then have the movers move it into the new house again, it's just going to cost too much, plus the inconvenience. So Rocky had to pay the extra $1,000. And that was a check he did not want to write, but he had to. 2 months later, they moved out into their new house, started a family, went on with life as people normally do, and forgot about it all. Until one fateful day, a few years later.
Have the job, survive the dot-com crash, have a couple kids now in the same house, totally forgotten about this guy. I'm at work one day. I mean, just complete coincidence. I wasn't at my desk. I wasn't in my little cubicle. I happened to be walking through one of the hallways, and I hear one of my coworkers, my friend Phil, talking to the guy at the reception. He says something like, if a guy comes in named Hank so-and-so, let me know I'm expecting him. And his last name was very, very specific. And so the name just like ricocheted inside my brain to that jolt of adrenaline. You know, when you're on the airplane and you've taken off and they pull back the throttle and you drop just a little bit.
Yep.
Okay. I get that little jolt, like, can't believe I've heard this name. So I kind of stop and I'm like, wait, how do you know that name? And he says, oh, he's my realtor.
And it turns out he's been this guy's real estate agent for years, and he's about to double end a deal. So that means he's going to sell this guy's condo, and he's going to help him buy a house. That is a huge amount of money, especially in California.
We're standing there chatting about it, and it's like my world is crashing down around me, and the guy walks in the door of the office. And so I say, hi, I'm Rocky. I was your tenant at your townhouse on such and such street, you know, several years ago. And he kind of like says, oh, yeah, that's right. I remember. And he kind of remembers. And he really just doesn't have any clue yet. So now I'm kind of getting my composure, and I'm kind of figuring out that there is really no way I'm going to let my friend Phil use this guy. I'm going to do everything I can. And so I'm like, yeah, this is quite a coincidence. This is my friend Phil. He works here with me. We're friends in the office.
Yeah, we're, you know, really close, and he's going to do whatever I tell him to do, basically.
Yeah, and he's like, okay, that's nice. He still doesn't get it yet. And I'm like, Phil, let me talk to you when you're done with this. He's like, oh, all right, Rocky, I'll talk to you. And so the landlord leaves.
Yeah.
And Phil comes up to me. I'm like, I have a story for you. And I tell him the story, and I told him about that. He's like, you don't have to like it. You just have to pay it. Okay, look, just please don't use them. Sell your condo. I'll help you find another realtor. I'll help you do whatever you want. Just use anybody but him.
Yeah.
He's like, well, you know, I've always known him to be an okay guy. You know, I guess I can totally see him doing that to you, though. He is kind of like that. He's like, I can't. You're right. I can't use him.
This is a true bro here. I just got to let
He's a really good friend. Really good friend. He's like, you're right.
I have a bro that needs help with this type of situation in the future. Let this be a lesson. Your bros come first, and you do it. You do whatever they need.
And then he kind of takes it a step further. And this is the type of friend that would help you hide a body, right? He says, what do you want me to say to him when I fire him? And so we come up with a plan. And I said, you just have to tell him, just make sure you use the words. If you don't have to like it, you just have to pay it, or you just have to do it, or something like that. Yeah. We got to get this guy back. Tell him I said hi. I wanted my name in there. So he wrote it all out, and I'm standing there behind his desk. This is like a day later. It's like the very next day. He makes the phone call, and I only get to hear one side of the conversation. Hey, Hank, it's Phil. Yeah, about that. Yeah, no, I'm not gonna sign with you for selling the house. No, I've decided to go in a different direction. No, it's just a decision I've made. It's like, no, it has nothing to do with my friend Rocky. Even though it totally did. And he's listening to me. He's like, no, I'm sorry. You don't have to like it. You just have to do it.
Oh, wow.
That's it,
the right payload right there. That's it. Right there.
Oh, and it was marvelous. And it's not just me. By now, the whole office knows what's going on. We're all in on it. They're all watching this guy make this phone call, my buddy make this phone call and do this. And they've all heard my story, and they've all heard my righteous anger over the whole thing. And they just watch it go down. It was beautiful.
Again, this goes to the psychology of it. People love that checks and balances. Like this guy's about to get what he deserves, and it's rare that anybody gets to see something on this poetic of a level. And then tell me what happened at the end. What did this guy lose out on because of the way he treated you?
So let's do the math. If there was somewhere around $600,000 or $700,000in transactions that he was gonna, probably more, you know, he easily missed out on $30,000 to $40,000 in commissions. He came right back at me with that. And so when he heard his own line shouted back at him, I like to think he recognized it as his own words.
And you got to imagine, if he screwed you, how many people did he screw? If you were you're probably just one of the on the notch in the belt. Imagine how many people he's taken advantage of at this point.
I think you're right. I think the karma could be even. You know, even though it was one big lump sum at the end, but it's not a good way to live your life. But I do think that the nicer you are in general, the luckier you'll be.
Cool. I like that.
I would like to err on the side of being nice. And so I'd rather be an optimist than a pessimist.
I think that's good life. I think that's a good life lesson to say, you know what? Even if you don't get something good back, doesn't it make you feel better when you're a better person to people? Appreciate being on the show. And I hope that all only good karma comes your way from this point forward.
Thank you, sir.
All right, man. All right, so we just got out of band practice, and tell us who you are.
My name is Brent.
Yeah, and Brent is my guitar player, and he's actually quite amazing at guitar. Really cool. I just asked him the question because I was showing him the podcast, and I said, Brent, what happens if someone kills your family? Would you avenge them? And he actually had something. So tell me, what's the answer to that question?
Yeah, so I mean, when we were talking, it kind of made me think of something that I wanted to do a while ago. I never quite got off the ground. It was like this campaign thing idea where I wanted to have this card printed. Basically, the gist of the card is that I wouldn't want my death to advocate for gun ownership or people, you know, going against other people who might appear to be terrorists or that whole kind of a thing. But really, I want my life to be something that's, you know, promoting peace, love, and people coming together.
We all know that's so silly, but it's kidding. So that brought me to another question that said, okay, so Brent's a peaceful guy, right? He's not someone who wants to fight. Right, he probably doesn't have a hot temper like me. Brent's got two kids, they're awesome. He's got a wife, beautiful, awesome family. They're all really super cool. And so the question is, so Brent, you're sleeping. You hear the window break.
No.
Okay? Someone's breaking into your house. So, but you know, I know the sun's dark, but they come in, your whole family gets killed, but for whatever reason, he does not kill you.
Yeah.
He just walks out. You don't avenge them.
Oh, that's so dark. No, I don't think that I would. I would really hope that I would probably, honestly, like run off to a cave and just like seclude myself and not have anything to do with anybody. I don't see myself going so dark as to like want to avenge them. I would hope, and I don't know what I would actually do in this situation, but I would hope that I would still kind of be about peace. I would feel like something was taken from me. No, that's not what I would do, you know? Like, cause you watch a lot of sports, right?
Yep.
So maybe there's like, I'm playing like on a slow pitch thing or whatever. Yep. And they'll like, you know, they'll hit the ball, but they'll run and he's like all, you know, being super chachi and stuff like that. Yep. This has definitely happened. Try to slide or something, and then they'll get their legs kind of like, they'll rub their pants and be really upset about that. I'll take a little bit of enjoyment in that.
Okay.
But there are levels, right? Like, so if they cut their leg, I won't be so happy about that because that sucks. But ripping their pants because...
You're good with minor karma.
Yeah, yeah.
Minor karma. Not life-altering karma.
Not life-altering.
Where I'm like, the bigger the karma, the better. Thanks, Brent.
Yeah, no worries.
All right, so we have some friends over. We're having a little barbecue, and I'm going to ask Tom, because I'm going to ask everybody. Tom, tell me, I know this is going to be sound like a dark question. Let's say if someone, I'm going to lay it out. If someone were to kill all your family, wow, would you avenge their death?
Yes.
You would?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not just me.
Yes.
Everybody else said no.
I would, for sure.
You would definitely do it. Like, you think about it, and you would go through with it.
I would.
I would too. Okay, good. What do you think Katie's going to say?
That's a tough one.
If someone killed your entire family,
yes, yes,
but not you,
yes,
would you avenge their death?
I don't think so.
Okay, if someone killed you guys all,
yeah,
would you allow Tom to avenge your death? Would that be okay with you?
I don't know, because I don't really, like, see, like, I don't think evil with evil, like, equals anything, right?
Here.
So, like... And I wouldn't want him to, like, get put in jail or something, and then I would lose him, too. So
well, you're already dead,
like,
though. You're already dead.
Oh.
So you're dead.
No, you might as well go have a good life.
It's fair. Okay. All right, so I'm just hanging out in the podcast studio, also known as my basement, with a couple of our friends came over, Jeff and Trish, really close friends of ours. Our sons are, like, basically best friends. We're pretty aligned in our beliefs, I think, Jeff and I especially, and I think Trish and Kathy are very aligned. So here's the question.
What does that mean?
All right, I'll ask you first, Jeff.
You got me scared.
All right. Someone breaks into your house, kills your whole family, you're at work. Do you get revenge?
I'm tingling. I would want to, but I think the right answer is no.
Oh. Would you let him avenge your deaths?
No.
Would you want him to? You wouldn't let him?
No, I wouldn't, because then he would go to jail and I'd be left alone.
You're dead already.
Oh, I'm dead. Sorry.
You're already dead.
So I'm would already you, dead. No,
okay, no, so
it would make his life more miserable.
Okay, opposite question. Everybody kills your whole family but you.
Yes.
You don't avenge them at all.
No.
What do you do?
If I could guarantee that I wouldn't be caught.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Maybe. That's a good answer. There's somebody out there who is like just kind of a jerk. You know, they get some kind of karma. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. Like they cut you off and then they get a ticket. Do you enjoy that?
Love yes. it.
You do love it?
Yes.
What about if someone has a higher level of karma? Like someone is in a workforce who's not very... Let's say he sexually harassed somebody. Loses their job completely. Do you take enjoyment in that?
A little bit.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good. So we're out... What day is it?
Friday.
It's Friday. We're kind of hanging out with our newlywed friends here. This is perfect because you guys are newlyweds and this is a good question. So the question is, I'll ask Josh first. Josh, would you... If someone were to brutally murder Melinda, would you avenge her death?
Probably.
Yes.
Would you avenge if he was murdered?
Heck yes.
Really? That's awesome. Kathy's like, nope. I asked her. She's like, nope.
I have a very dark streak.
Okay, here's another question. So then, okay, let's say someone gets their karma, their just desserts. Do you enjoy it?
It's human nature to enjoy it.
Yeah, I think there's
an
economy there.
It.
Yeah, I think it's both ways, right? You enjoy it, but you also feel bad for enjoying it.
Public outcry still soaring tonight over a 6-month sentence slapped on former Stanford University freshman Brock Turner for sexually assaulting a 22-year-old woman while she lay unconscious next to a dumpster outside this frat house last year.
Okay, so if you've been on the internet in the last few years, you've heard the story of Brock Turner. And I need to kind of go back a little bit here.
because one of the crazy parts of the story is that in news outlets and papers all over the world, instead of calling this guy what he really was, which is a rapist, they would call him Brock Turner, the Stanford swimmer, not the fact that he was a rapist. And, you know, the craziest part of this story, as far as I'm concerned, is his parents. And as a parent myself, I try to think, would I stand up for my child who was caught red-handed raping an unconscious woman? I know I'd always love my kids, and I will, but I would not stand behind them and protect them through this. And I want to read this quote from this guy's dad. His life will never be the one that he dreamed about and worked so hard to achieve. That is a steep price to pay for 20 minutes of action out of his 20 years of life. I, as a man of God, and I'm a pastor, and as I read that, it just gives me shivers to think that how is not someone not knocked this guy out yet? How has he not gotten his karma? Forget about Brock for a second. Think about his dad, what he just said there, diminishing the fact that his son raped somebody, and because his son worked so hard, he doesn't get to enjoy the fruits of his labor. We are reaching levels of douchiness that shouldn't even be possible. And then this judge, who was also a Stanford athlete, hands down the most lenient sentence you could ever hand down to someone. Someone who was without a doubt guilty, caught red-handed. The suckiest part of karma sometimes is that this happens, right? The guy actually doesn't get karma. Or the kid with affluenza who's so rich he doesn't understand rules. We can't accept that as a society. The reason we want to see balance is because we want to know that good people get good dealt to them and bad people get bad dealt to them. It's human nature. I think it's kind of ingrained in us. So when it doesn't happen, outrage happens. And in this case, the outrage was so palpable that eventually the judge got recalled. And it's something that hasn't happened since the 1930s. So that's saying a lot. So the silver lining is, yeah, the judge got recalled because he's kind of he's a douche. Karma happened to the judge and it was supposed to happen to Brock Turner. But I doubt this is the last we've heard of Brock Turner, because anybody who's going to hire this guy is going to feel the wrath of the karma that follows this kid everywhere. I can't even believe his parents would still have friends after this. I know parents should always love their kid no matter what, but at the same time, you have to teach your kids to make good decisions, and if they don't, they have to stand on their bad decisions and they have to learn. So, and this is one of those stories of karma that kind of sucks to hear because you didn't really get it. But that's why we have to cover it, because karma is karma either way. So holy cow, episode one is like halfway in the bag right now. And I'm thinking to myself, what have I learned over this entire episode and interviewing different people and talking with my close friends and my wife? And you know what? I actually have learned quite a bit about the psychology of these feelings that we have of revenge. And what I'm finding out is that it's intrinsically human nature for us to want the world to be balanced, whether that's through justice that we have socially, like courts, or personally that we want to avenge. So what I'm learning is that there's this massive spectrum of where people land on this topic of revenge, karma, and poetic justice. And most people don't actually like to see people get hardcore karma delivered to them. And they're probably the select few, I think it's probably closer to 70 and 30, where the 30% people just, you know, the bigger the karma, the better. And I've kind of think I've shifted my thoughts a little bit depending on the person. Because I think partly is because I grew up poor, I grew up abused, I grew up in a broken home, and I never got to see justice. I was bullied. I was stabbed with a pencil, I remember one time. I was pushed into lockers. I was kicked in the face. I was beat up for no reason. Bullying, I think, maybe has triggered me to want to see more justice. It'd be interesting to see from the perspective of those who have been bullied as compared to those who have maybe not been bullied and had more of a normal childhood to see where they land on that spectrum of karma. I feel that because I never got dealt justice growing up because of all the bullying, I got to tell you, it's like intense bullying. This wasn't just like, you know, playground bullying. Like there was points of my life where I considered suicide. There were points in my life there I didn't want to go to school where I would have rather just disappeared. And that's sad for a kid to have to deal with that. So I think that kind of intrinsically meshes itself into my life, into this whole karma thing where I think, man, those people who do bad things, they need to pay for those things because that's kind of how what happened to me. So that's a little dark. Sorry about that. And so I'm going to challenge myself over the next couple of weeks, especially with my road rage, is to just let it go. Let those things go. like Brent was saying, you know, maybe apologize if I've done something wrong and see what happens. I think there's just a better way to live when you treat people better and kill them with kindness, as opposed to just always seeking revenge and justice. So this episode took us to quite a few different places and a lot of, you know, opinions and a lot of cool answers. And I'm, you know, that's pretty cool. I think I learned a lot. And I think that's the beauty of this podcast is that, I'm an open book here and I'd love to learn more about what makes me tick. I think that's kind of cool. And hey, I've been thinking about that thing that Brent was saying, that him and his buddy had the idea of coming up with this card statement, almost like an organ donor thing you put in your wallet. And so I created it for him. This card is to declare that if I were to be fatally injured by an act of gun violence, terrorism, or otherwise, that my fate may not be used to advocate for more guns, propagate violence, or hatred towards another life. My wish is for love to prevail. Hashtag love is more. And so Brent wrote that up, and I'm going to leave it on the site, and you can download it and print it out and put it in your wallet if you feel like that's something that you're interested in doing. I think that's pretty cool. I'm never going to hate on someone for not loving a revenge or not wanting to do those things. And I actually love that my heart has kind of shifted on this and my thinking has shifted. Thanks for joining me here on the Threadit Podcast. Follow me on all the socials at Threadit Podcast. You can check me out on Twitter at Joshua Barber. And make sure that you subscribe, and comment, leave a rating if you like this show. And man, I'm really excited about this adventure. So join me. Let's do this together.